Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
You know, as we're reminded this morning, it's coming from about 30 different directions, isn't it, friends? I mean, it really is. And the scripture tells us, let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So evidently, doing good things wears you out. Well, why would you get weary in doing well? Well, the reason you get weary in doing well is because there's so much not well-doing going on. When you try to do the right thing, the resistance is so strong and so powerful that it tends to wear you down. You know, Randy just told us one more county today, one more, and they will have prayer walked and staked every county in Oklahoma. Well, that'd make you weary, wouldn't it? So don't grow weary in it. Don't grow weary. Why? For in due season. Folks, when you read the Bible, the words have meaning. I got into it yesterday. I didn't get into it. That's not the right thing. Michelle and I had a discussion yesterday. Where is it? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Where is that? Now faith is the substance of things
hoped for. Hebrews 11:1.
Thank you. Hebrews 11:1. And I think Michelle maybe even did a little Bible study last night with her group last night. Let me say this. I love my wife so much. My wife is what a sweetheart. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Joe, we're going to get communion in just a second. I promise you. Folks, go ahead and get your elements ready. And for some reason, the Lord gifted me with, I have a language app in my head. That's the only way I can explain it. It's always been that way from the time I was a little kid. And, you know, two of my aunts were authors. On my mom's side, my mom's sisters wrote books, and that gift somehow has come down. I mean, it just came out of nowhere, and I have it. And language, I love language. I love to read a word. By the way, the Bible says to meditate on the word. Meditate on it. Meditate. Hey, Spencer, real quickly, what's it mean to meditate? Meditate. To meditate on it. Don't just read it, but meditate. It means to dwell on anything in thought, to contemplate, to study, to turn or resolve in any subject in the mind. To intend, to have a contemplation, to think on, to revolve in your mind, to meditate on these things, turn them over and over and over and over and over again. Like it's like making a pizza. You just keep flipping that dough over and over and over. So back to Hebrews 11:1, friends. Now, why would this start out with now? Huh? Now, doesn't now mean in currently, ever present, now? Now isn't yesterday. Now isn't 2 minutes from now. Now isn't even 30 seconds from now. Now is now. Now, in the present position in which you find yourself now. How are you doing now? Not how you doing yesterday. How you doing tomorrow? How you doing now? Well, now, faith. What's now faith? When people say, I hear little tidbits of things that people say. They say, well, coach, I'm believing for healing. What the hell does that mean? You're believing for healing. You're believing for it? What? Now faith. What is now faith? It's ever present trust and belief in what the Lord says is true. It's going to happen at the present time, right? At one time, at another time. Now, what's the weather like now? Not what's it going to be like tomorrow. What's the forecast for the week? What's going on now? I say to my wife, is it raining? She never says now. If I say, is the sun out? She doesn't say now because she knows I'm talking about now. Is it raining now? Hey, honey, is it raining at 1 o'clock tomorrow? That's a stupid thing to say, right? So the importance of understanding now faith in every moment and every minute where you are. And you better understand this, that the enemy's desire is to what? Take away that now faith. Go back up there, Hebrews 11. Now faith is substance. Huh? Spence. What's substance? Now faith is the substance. In general sense, being. Something existing by itself. That which really is or exists. Equally applicable to matter or spirit. Thus, the soul of a man is called immaterial substance, because it's a cognitive substance, a substance endured with thought. We say a stone is a hard substance and tallow is a soft substance. So for substance is something real, not imaginary, something solid, not empty. Are you rolling with me on this? Anybody rolling with me yet? So go back to Hebrews. Now, faith is substance. You either get it or you don't get it. It's like turning on a hose and it's water. It's water. Water is substance. Faith is substance. Faith is, it is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. What did the Luciferians say? First above, then beneath, below. First above, then below, right? Now. Do you have now faith?
Amen.
Yeah, look. I'm going to tell you something. Randy's got now faith. Randy's got so much now faith that he's going to go now. And he knows that when he goes and he does that prayer walk, his now faith is going to produce substance. It's going to do what the Lord told it to do. And the battleground of your mind is over what you really believe and what you hope for, because those are not the same. Hope. Oh, my goodness. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hope is not faith. Do you get it? Faith is the substance. Faith is what creates it. And where we really, really run into a mess, I'm going somewhere. Hang on, Joe. I haven't forgotten you, Joe. Where we really run into everything. See, the scripture says, all things work together for good. Those who love the Lord and those who are called according to his purpose. Doesn't say all things are good. Said all things work together for good. For everybody? No. All things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Are you called according to his purpose? Are you fulfilling your purpose? See, I'm not a name it, claim it guy. That's not what I'm talking about. I know this, that Randy and his crew in Oklahoma believe in their heart that they have substance, that when they go and do this, something's going to happen. Is that an amen, Randy? Huh? Is that what amen. Gets you up? Is that what gets you up in the morning and drives you to go out there? Because you got substance, baby. Huh? Now faith is substance, and you can see it. And you say, Coach, if we can just go stake every one of those courthouses, Coach, if we can just, dude, you have got yourself some serious now faith.
Boom.
And most of us have now hope. And if you see right there, pull that back up, pull up Hebrews 1, you'll see that faith and hope are not the same thing. Wow, out of market this. Now, faith is the substance of hope. Faith is the substance of hope. The evidence. Golly. The evidence of stuff you can't even see. So I'm telling you, the Lord is doing something miraculous in our midst, and it is going to be cataclysmic in so many different ways. But the only way that this thing is going to get cleaned up and cleaned around is we're going to need some apple carts upset. Would anybody agree with me on that? We need some serious apple cart upsetting in America. And the more that it happens, the more I'm going to rejoice. I got some stuff I want to dive into here today, stuff that I think we need to discuss, but I'm going to shut up a minute and turn it over to Joe. Thanks for getting up this morning out there, Joe. Huh? Huh? What is this thing we're about to eat? What is this thing? Just a wafer. Just a piece of whatever. I don't even know what. I don't even know what they make it out of. I don't even know what it is. And then they tell me this stuff. They tell me that stuff's blood. Oh, we're crazy, aren't we? Not if you believe it. Not if you believe it. Go ahead, Joe. You got to unmute, bud.
Thank you, Coach.
Now faith is. I don't want any yesterday faith. I don't want any tomorrow faith. I want now faith. That's what I want. I want now faith. Go ahead, Joe.
I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly.
Wow.
I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not be the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and the sheep and scattereth the sheep. Mm. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine.
He ain't no hireling. He ain't no hireling.
No, he's not. He is not a mercenary. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep.
Amen. Amen. Man, oh man.
And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself.
Amen.
I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment I have received of my Father.
By the way, Joe, let me stop there a second. Folks, you have that same power. You have that same power to lay down your life, or you have that same power to take it back up. You can do that. You have the power to do that. And you can live your whole life avoiding trouble. And whether you understand it or not, you are in somewhat control of your life when you do that. I'm not going to speak up because it might get me in trouble. I'm not going to go to that meeting because it might get me in trouble. I'm going to do this because I don't want to get in trouble, right? So really, some of you say you've laid down, all of us, not you, have laid down your life, but you take it back up again. Huh? Oh, yeah, yeah, you do. You die to yourself, but you resurrect yourself. It's a constant battle to present your body a living sacrifice, holy unto God, which is your reasonable service. Wow. Go ahead, Joe.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning with gratitude in our hearts that our lungs are full and our hearts are beating and that you've seen fit to let us be here with you today. And we thank you for this day and that we can be here together in this unconventional congregation spread out across this great country that you have built. And we come to you, Lord, with a bruised heart from all that we've seen happen to our great country and to those that we love and those who are dear friends and those who are challenged by these injustice things that are in abundance today. But we know, Lord, that this is all yours. And we can feel that you're about to do something. And we know that you, as the game board is yours, Lord, you can flip it over. And we believe you're about to do that. And so we pray that as these events come, that we feel that are about to come, that you watch over us and help us have the faith, so that we may have manifest what we cannot see, but what we hope for and believe, Lord. We know that you can do this, and you are the only way out of the situation we are in. And we realize that President Trump is your Cyrus. He is not a god. He is not someone to idolize. He is just a servant. And we pray that he yields and surrenders himself totally to you, Lord. And we pray for those in Florida and the surrounding states that are being hit by this monster storm. We pray that you give them an abundance of miracles, that churches and houses remain standing and businesses remain standing and vehicles aren't damaged and lives aren't lost, but the communities are brought together and that after this, people recover and rebound quickly. And we look at the weekend coming, Lord, and we ask simply that you take care of us and that you help us, let you shine through us. Let people see that we are your ambassadors. And we thank you for communion, Lord. We ask that you bless this bread and this drink representing the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ that was sacrificed for us so many years ago, so that we who believe in him may not perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen.
You know, we are so amazed in awe that we serve a God that gave his only begotten Son. Yeah, everlasting life. We just can't fathom that, Lord. So in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Joe.
Thank you, sir.
Let me get my feet back under me here a minute. I Googled something here. Where am I here? Oh, I'm sorry. Bear with me. Hang on. There you go. Back there. I'm a little out of kilter today because maybe you can pull her up. It says jail. Spencer says, the email sent you says jail. And it says six activists. This is, by the way, January 31st, 2024. So this is 4 or 5 months ago. Six activists convicted of illegally blocking abortion clinic in Tennessee. And the article explains, look at this. Stay at the top right there. A Tennessee jury has convicted six anti-abortion protesters of violating federal laws. First of all, they're not anti-abortion, they're pro-life. There's a difference in those two, right? Federal laws. By the way, they violated no federal law. They violated no federal law. What are you saying, Coach? Well, the FACE Act, constitutional right to abortion has been revoked. Read right down there at the bottom. The jury's decision handed down late Tuesday after a week-long trial marks the latest development. The case has been closely watched by conservative groups who have accused the federal government of unfairly targeting abortion opponents by using 1994. How long ago was 1994? Betty, you any good math? How long ago was 1994?
About 30 years ago.
30 years ago, the FACE Act is 30 years old. 30 years ago, when we knew so very little about abortion, really, at least not as much as we know now, they put into place what they called a FACE Act. And there's reproductive rights supporters counter the law known as the Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrance, or the FACE Act, is more critical than ever in shielding abortion providers from violence now that the constitutional right to abortion has been revoked. Hang on a minute. You guys see that, or am I the only guy that sees that? Constitutional right to abortion has been revoked. Can somebody explain that to me in Ohio language, what that means? Can somebody explain that to me? What does that mean? Constitutional right to abortion has been revoked.
The false right to murder babies has been rescinded.
There is no right to murder babies. Don Voss, go ahead.
The federal government has no more jurisdiction.
The federal government has no more jurisdiction. Right? Would you all agree with me on that? At issue is the 2021 blockade held outside a reproductive health clinic in Mount Juliet, Tennessee. 2021. The infamous was organized by anti-abortion. There they are. Anti-abortion supporters who used social media to promote and live stream actions that they had hoped would prevent the clinic from performing abortions. Do you know that the Bible tells us to rescue those who are unjustly led to slaughter? Does anybody know that it says that? In fact, if somebody Google that real quick. Hang on, I got to ride this horse just for my own sake, okay? Can somebody find that? Rescue those who are unjustly led to slaughter. Rescue those who are unjustly led.
Proverbs 24:11.
Thank you, Dale. Proverbs 24:11. This is in the Bible. If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death and those that are slain, that's not it, Dale. I mean, it sort of is. Well, it is. If you forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death and those that are ready to be slain. But the Bible says specifically to rescue those who are unjustly led to slaughter. Rescue them.
It's the translation. That's all, Coach. Okay. But that's it.
All right. Okay. So in other words, we have an obligation, a more, hey, Congress shall make no law regarding the establishment of a religion, nor prohibiting the free exercise thereof. If I go to an abortion clinic and I block an abortion clinic, I have not hurt anyone. I have helped someone. Do you understand that? If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death and those that are ready to be slain. We have a biblical command to rescue those unborn babies. Do you guys get, do you get it? Do you get it or not? Congress shall make no law regarding the establishment of a religion, nor prohibiting the free exercise thereof. The free exercise of my faith says, go keep that baby from being murdered. In fact, the Bible tells me that I'm required to do that, to rescue those who are unjustly led to slaughter. And it also says to remember the women and orphans in their pure religion and undefiled. Somebody find that for me. Pure religion,
James.
And undefiled.
No, it's in Joshua. It's got to be in Joshua.
No, it's in James.
James?
I believe it's the fifth chapter, Coach, or the fourth chapter. But yes.
I'm just hitting it faster, right? Pure religion and undefiled. Keep going. We'll find it. Or somebody Google it while I'm doing it right now. Pure religion and undefiled. Pure religion. Congress shall make no law regarding the establishment of a religion.
James 1:27.
Thank you. James 1:27. Friends, do you forfeit your Christian rights when you go into court? Do you forfeit your Christian rights when you when you understand that when you block an abortion clinic, you haven't harmed anybody. You have saved somebody. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless. Those little babies are fatherless. If they had a real daddy, he'd be there protecting them. And the widows in their affliction. And the women are widows. What's a widow, Spencer? What did Webster say a widow is? A widow. To bereave of a husband. So she had a sex partner. She didn't have a husband. Right? A widow. And our call, our command is to rescue them. But you're not allowed to do that. Why are you not allowed to do that? Because somewhere along the line, 30 years ago, or January 23rd, 1973, the Supreme Court said there's a right to murder a baby. And they get away with it because they don't call it murder. They call it choice. They don't call it a baby. They call it a fetus. Play word games with it. I'm sorry to take so much time on this, folks. You better hear me. This is a big deal to the Lord. So we'll go back to there. What are we supposed to do? Rescue the women, pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father. Is this to visit the fatherless? Wow.
Coach, read 1 Peter 3:17 with this.
1 Peter 3:17.
1 Peter 3:17. That's the context, Coach, right there.
For it is better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Is getting preached in your church? So if you look, I put down the scroll down. Go back to the email, if you will, jail. Yesterday. No, going down to the email itself, Spencer. Just to the email itself. No. At the bottom of the email. No, you don't have to. Can't you just open that up? Okay. Anyway, it doesn't matter. So yesterday, Eva Edel, 85, I think she's 85, maybe she's 88. She's pretty daggone old. Holocaust survivor was sentenced to 3 years probation. Now, hang on a minute. Dale, maybe you can help me with this. She did the same thing Cal did. And the same thing Chet did. And the same thing Jimmy did. The same thing Eva did. And she gets probation. But Cal gets 6 months doing the same thing she did. And Chet, a former police officer who forfeited his job 30 years ago in Las Vegas, Nevada, when he went to the abortion clinic as a police officer and refused to arrest the blockade, refused to do it. It cost him his job. Yesterday, Chet Gallagher was sentenced to 16 months in jail for doing what the Bible commands him to do. You guys get that? You understand the seriousness of this? Jimmy Zastrow, who's Cal's son, he hadn't been sentenced yet. Eva, who is Cal's daughter, she hadn't been sentenced yet.
Yes, they have.
They have. Okay. What do you know what that is, Dale? Oh, yes.
Okay. Yeah, that right. They're all the minors. But the court's reasoning, Coach, was that Chet and Cal have been, you know, the court marking system, which is kind of new to me, but also the fact that they said that they were the linchpin. They were the big mafia dads on this, right?
Just saving people's lives. They were the big mafia dads going and rescuing widows. You folks, this just so infuriates me. Cal Zastrow, Chet Gallagher, a former police officer, says there's a murder taking place in there. I can't let that happen. Now, hang on. What about you? That's what I thought about this morning when I got up. What about me, Mr. Blowhard? Sit behind a camera and a microphone and blowhard it. Cal Zastrow is going to go spend 6 months. Woe to those who call good evil and evil good. Are you looking at me? There is no constitutional right to an abortion. How could you possibly be charged with a crime for stopping something that you have no right to do?
Boom.
Folks, do you understand that Chet Gallagher and Cal, do you understand that the locals refused to enforce it? The local police did not enforce it. They just sat down in a medical office is all they did. People still were able to go in and out. They didn't block the door. They didn't push a couch up against the door and keep people from coming in. They simply sat down there, sang hymns, and prayed as they walked by. The Supreme Court said there's no right to an abortion. And Merrick Garland and the federal government said, okay, well, we'll charge them then. And what are they going to say? What are they saying? Well, we're going to charge him with the FACE Act, which was in effect when they did it. Do you understand how wicked this is? Do you understand how wicked this is? Will this be overturned on an appeal? Friends, do you really trust the courts? Do you really trust them? And I think back to Bill Dunphy. I don't know if you know this or not. Bill Dunphy was not allowed to get on the witness stand and explain why he did what he did. If he did that, he got enhanced penalties. If he got on there and if he explained that, Your Honor, I did this because my faith compels me to do it, and here's the biblical scriptural reason why I did it, the judge is going to say, listen, we're king here. That Jesus, he ain't welcome here. And if you go on ahead and continue to talk about that Jesus thing, I'm going to give you more time in jail. And that's exactly what happened. Unable to put on an honest, godly defense of his actions. I'm reminded I can't find where it is. Whether it was Dr. Martin Luther King or whatever, I can't remember. But here's the quote. someone came along and they saw, whether it was Dr. King or Niemöller, I can't remember who it was, but so bear with me on that, said, they came and said, well, brother King, what are you doing here in jail? And Brother King said, my friend, with what's going on out there, why are you not here with me? That's the way I feel this morning. Bill Dunphy right now is waking up in a jail cell. For doing what? Rescuing the unborn, widows and the orphans in their time of need. We've so turned the corner on wickedness. So turned the corner.
So, Dave, I found another scripture on that Psalms.
Okay, keep saying that, Chad. Is it, folks, is there a separation between the church and the state or not? If there's a separation between the church and the state, how come the state's in charge? Where did they get to be in charge? Go ahead, Chad.
Well, it was that one I think you're referring to, rescue the weak and the needy, Psalm 82:4. Save them from the hand of the wicked.
Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. Would anybody in here think that killing a baby would be wicked? Anybody besides me think that's wicked? Well, what's your command? What's the Lord tell you to do? Pray for him? No. Go rescue them. Deliver them. And then what happens when you go do that? They sentence you to 20 months in jail for something that's not even a crime. But see, folks, come on. The federal court system is bought and paid for. Whenever you see that they've approved some new federal judges, you better understand, excuse me, those are not legal appointments. Those are political appointments. That's why when you look at the U.S. Supreme Court, they say Amy Coney Barrett, a Trump appointee, as opposed to somebody wicked, I don't even remember who that was on there now, a Obama appointee. Yeah, you see? So it's not, they're not appointing justices. They're appointing hammers. They're appointing hammers. One group's going to hammer these nails in, and the other group's going to have trying to pull those nails out. Constitutionalists. I know I'm all over the place. I know I am. This grieves me. It grieves me. And I know in my own heart what a coward I am. Hey, pull up for me. Is it Revelation 21? Is it Revelation 21:8? I could be wrong. Verse 8. Go to verse 8. But the fearful and the unbelieving. Is that you? Is that me? The fearful and the unbelieving, the cowards go first. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving, and of course the abominable and the murderers. You understand the fearful and unbelieving are ahead of the murderers? You see that? You see that? You're at least like Christ when you're cowardly. But the fearful and unbelieving, and by the way, the abominable, oh yeah, and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall find their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And the ones leading the parade are the fearful and unbelieving. Whew. I hope that's a misprint. Because truth be told, I'm such a coward. I'm unbelieving too. See, I really don't believe that God could use my arrest. He couldn't. He couldn't use that. I'm unbelieving. I don't believe the fact that all things work together for good for those who love the Lord, called according to his purpose. I don't believe that the Bible says goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord. I don't believe that, see. I don't believe that. Because if I simply followed my conscience, I would find out that my conscience constantly gets me in trouble. Would somebody say amen? Would somebody say amen? My amen. Conscience is constantly in conflict with the world.
Amen.
And Jesus told you this, that you would be hated of all men. They're going to throw you in jail. They're going to lock you up. They're going to do all this wicked, wicked kind of stuff to you. They're going to throw you in jail for 16 months for rescuing an unborn human being. Oh, I've gone a long time here. Proverbs 18:13. Come on in there. Gary, get your hand up. Come on in.
Thanks, Coach. I just think we should refer to these things exactly what they really are, and that's a blood sacrifice to the devil.
They are. They are. The church won't even talk about it, though. See, the church won't even engage in that. What if the entire church, what if 500 people showed up at that same abortion clinic? I'm sorry, murder mill. What if 500 people showed up at that same, would they arrest everybody?
They couldn't.
No, no. I'll tell you what would happen, though. The fearful and unbelieving, boy, they'd be exposed, wouldn't they?
Ooh.
They'd sure be exposed. See, we're in the mess we're in because God's people won't stand up and push back and fight and suffer the consequences of doing the right thing. Jesus told you, pull up the Sermon on the Mount. Is that Matthew? Where's that? Matthew? Where's the sermon? I always get that mixed up. Matthew 5? Matthew 5? There it is. Yeah, keep on going. Keep going down. Keep going down. Folks, this better read this. Better read this. Huh? Blessed are you. Now back up. Blessed are you. When men shall revile you, persecute you, and say all manner of evil against you falsely on my behalf, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Because you ain't the first one that it happened to, baby. They did the same thing to the prophets which were before you. Dude, you are the salt of the earth. But if you lose your savor, you ain't good for nothing except to be cast out and rolled over by federal courts. Elected officials, judges appointed by wicked men. Randy.
Coach, this isn't your opinion. You're speaking the biblical position of a Christian.
Amen.
This is our reasonable service, Coach. Can we read 1 Peter 3 again and start at 13 and go to 18, Coach, and just see our present situation. Bill Dunphy, Heather, all these people put in jail, persecuted, and we're suffering. And we ought to be doing a week with them, Coach. We ought to all spread this out, you know.
We ought to all go say, I'll do a week. I'll do a week for him.
Amen, Coach. But this is our biblical position. This is what Peter wrote. And this is where the churches should be preaching this now. But this is how we should look at it, Coach. Right.
For the eyes of the Lord are over Cal Zastro and Eva Edel and over Bill Dunphy. The eyes of the Lord are over them, the righteous. And his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord, it's against them that do evil. And by the way, who is it? Who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? But, and if you suffer for doing good, happy are ye. Don't be afraid of them. Don't be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. They wouldn't even let them testify in the court as to why they did it, the hope that was within them. If they did that, they got an extended jail sentence. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. By the way, Spencer, look up meek. Look up meek. Meek ain't cowardly and scared. Sorry. Meek is mild of temper, soft, gentle, not easily provoked, irritated, appropriately humble in the evangelical sense, submissive to the divine will. That's somebody who's meek, not proud, self-sufficiency or refractory, not peevish and apt to complain of divine dispensations. Christ says, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. It's a picture of a wild stallion with a bridle in his mouth. Ready to run, controlled energy. That's meekness. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart. You guys ever been around Cal's Astro? This Cal's Astro right here. Be ready always to give an answer to every man and ask you for the reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And the judge wouldn't even let Bill Dunphy testify why he's doing it. Having a good conscience. That whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they're going to be ashamed that they falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for doing good than for doing evil. And this is, anybody convicted but me? Anybody convicted but me? Roger.
All you would need is about 1,000 of those wild stallions to be on the seventh floor in the court saying, I ain't pleading guilty, let's have a trial. It would so bog down the system. And I don't know if they would just firm up their neck a little more and try, but you know, all they'd have to do is have 500 just say, well, I want a jury trial.
That's right. See, they can't do that because it's a rigged system, right, Roger? They put this out in front of you and say, oh, you can have a fair trial, but boy, if you bring in witnesses, oh boy, if you take the witness stand, and oh boy, if you didn't know, oh, you're going to get whacked.
Well, but they're allowed a jury trial. You're allowed to have one. And, you know, you get 500 people that are doing,
out of D.C., you get 500 people from Washington, D.C.
I'm thinking more local, I guess, than D.C. But and the other random thought I had, this out of nowhere, it doesn't happen too often, but, you know, we think of the mission field and everybody overseas. And, yeah. You know, if all those missionaries would come back to the state of Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Georgia, the elections would be swayed to the Christians every year. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
All the Christians would have to do is have a game plan is we're going to, what do you call it when we're going to have a pilgrimage. We're going to have a pilgrimage to Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Georgia. That's going to be our mission field. And that's going to change the election of those states. And we would win every one of those states if they voted Republican if they voted conservative. I'm not sure the answer, but hey, that's my random thought. But the wild stallions, Your Honor, there's 500 of them, and we all want a jury trial. So let's see what we're going to do now.
Amen, 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 amen. Hey, listen. You guys heard of mob rule? Heard of mob rule? Hang on! They want us to think it's a bunch of us getting together. Mob rule. But somebody help me out here. Isn't there something called the mob?
Boom.
And isn't the mob ruling? I think they are. I think they call themselves Republicans, and Democrats, and Independents, and Christians, but it's the mob that is ruling. Some guy in Washington, D.C., Are you kidding me? Okay, I got to show you something else real quick because I'm going to show you the uni party. Pull up. It says uni party. Pull that picture up for me. I'll get you right in here, Jeff. Hang on. Pull up that picture. But go back to that other one. That's Chet Gallagher. God bless Chet Gallagher. That's a police officer who was just sentenced to. God help us. And that's 88-year-old or however old she is, Eva Edel. Look pretty dangerous, don't they, folks? Look pretty. Chet Gallagher, what a brave, honorable, godly man. He's got a martyr's crown waiting on him, by the way. Okay, go to the other picture. Look at this. Look at this. Talk about a mob. The leader, the two leaders of the Senate applauding this Ukrainian criminal. The only thing they agree on is giving money to the Ukraine because the money somehow makes its way back to them. At least that's what they tell me. Jeff Nares, come on in.
Hey, Coach, maybe you can answer this. Maybe I need Roger. I've heard a few times you talk about they get a greater sentence if they testified. What is that? What is that? Is that a law? Is that what is that?
What is that, Roger? Can you help me with that?
Of course, well, in federal court, there's a point system on everything that is going on in your case.
I have it somewhere in my file here, Roger. I'll try to find it while you're talking.
But if you decide to go to trial, in many ways you're penalized for forcing a trial. If you enter a plea bargain, you get a favorable point system. I don't do a ton in federal court on the criminal side, but there's a point system, things you get if you do things you get hurt if you do things.
And if Bill told me that if he got on the witness stand and defended himself, he would get an enhanced penalty.
That's how the federal system, it's been constitutionally challenged and upheld. But that's kind of how that whole system criminally works. And that's why they have, you know, 98, 99% plea deals, because the system hurts you in certain areas of how you're handling your case.
Amen. Amen. I'm still looking for that thing. Come on in, Jack. Come on in.
Okay, there's an important distinction that has to be made between democracy and republicanism. In a democracy, the minority has no protection. In a republic, the minority's rights are protected. That's the big difference. We keep forgetting that. The minority's rights are protected. Are babies a minority? You think? But not in a democracy. You see, the simplistic answer is we are supposed to be a republic, but we are a democracy.
Amen. 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 So when the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities and powers, against evil spirits in high places, you have to go to Psalm 2. The kings of this earth have set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord. Folks, at the end of the day, this is nothing more than a spiritual war. And I hate to tell you this, the church ain't got any clue. Church doesn't have any clue. And the church, I don't know what it's like in your church. The church is preaching a prosperity message. A best life now message. While evil men wax worse and worse and take control of every aspect of our lives, and our response is, pray for evacuation. Pray for evacuation. Somebody help me out. I got 6 minutes left here. Go ahead. Proverbs 18. Come on in it, brother.
Well, the church keeps on preaching those messages because they're afraid to preach the truth. They're going to end up in jail, aren't they? Yep. Yep. And instead, so what do? They teach everybody that they're going to vanish one day and leave their clothes behind and they don't have to suffer at all.
That's exactly right. And look, I'm not beating up on the rapture. If the rapture comes tomorrow, I'm out of here. But can I tell you the truth? I never think about that. I never get up in the morning and think, man, is the rapture going to come today? Because you know where I live? You know what I think in my mind? I get up every morning and wonder, is the FBI here yet? That's what I think. That's more real to me than the rapture. Because if the rapture comes, you know, that other stuff matters.
Amen.
Right? Beliefs have consequences, friends. Randy.
Coach, have we not prayed for revival? Have we not prayed that God would change our nation? Have we not prayed for righteousness and justice? Coach, do we understand he's trying to bring it forward? He finally found a few witnesses that had the stones that would stand up, and he said, hey, you want it? Here it comes, but we got to have somebody that will do what it takes to get there. Coach, verse 18, then Peter there, we didn't read that, but it says that Jesus, listen to this, he suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust.
Amen.
Why? Why? And here's what it says, that he might bring us to God. Coach, these people are bringing us to God. This is how God is bringing revival. This is how God is changing everything. Because they're willing to suffer unjustly. This is this is how we have to look at this. We have to be willing to suffer for the gospel. And that will change everything. Coach, we are in a coming huge, huge change. If we can just see it.
Tells us in James that evil men have crept in. Pull up James, book of James real quick. This hasn't happened. James, it's only one chapter.
Jude.
I'm sorry. Jude, thank you. Thank you. Beloved, give me verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. You have to earnestly contend for this thing we call Christianity. For there are certain men crept in and snuck in. We didn't know it. We trusted them. Who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Wow. Hey, Spencer, real quickly. What's ordained? People say, are you an ordained minister? Ordained? Appointed, instituted, established, invested with ministerial or pastoral functions. By the way, you're all ordained. Now, hang on. We ordain people here at Pass Assault Ministries, but I'm going to tell you the truth. All that is so the government will recognize you. That's all it is. Betty Perkins is ordained. Jeff Nairs is ordained of the Lord. Randy's ordained. Dale is, well, he's doubly ordained. I'm looking at names. Joe Carrick or Roger Weaver is ordained. For there are certain men crept in aware who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men, turning the grace of our Lord, of our God, into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you understand what's happened? Infiltration into Christianity. Ungodly men. That brings us to John 10:10. The thief cometh but to kill and destroy. The thief cometh not but to kill and to steal and to destroy. And the thief in the devil, it's the hireling pastor. Go over to verse 1. Go to John 10:1. Hurry up. I'm about out of time. Oh, yeah, you're not going to sleep well this weekend. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but cometh up some other way, is a thief. The thief is the pastor who's standing in the pulpit, who snuck in some other way. He got in there because his grandma told him he ought to be a pastor. He got in it because he wanted to be boss. He got into it for whatever reason, but he wasn't willing to lay down his life for the sheep. Not willing to do that. Won't speak the truth.
Boom.
The Bible says, John 10, that guy, John 10, has cometh to kill and to steal and destroy. He's the thief, not the devil.
Amen. Amen.
See you Monday.